WCSM, for Sports First, on air and online, we welcome you to this WCSM Sports presentation.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. We are live from the Coldwater Eagles 3025, hosting yet again, Kyle, the board turned on again. Sports Surge episode number two. How are you?
Our luck is
on fire.
On fire. The only problem is it just wasn't on fire the other weekend for us.
No, not us.
I had three.
I think I had one, and then I had some pre-event 50-50. Of course, joining us, Ryan Steinbrenner. From the Win on the Wabash. Brother, what's up? How are you?
Pretty good, gentlemen. How about you?
We asked him when he sat down if he still recovered, and your answer was?
No. No, I will cough 1,700 times during this hour.
Yeah, it's going to be good radio tonight. I've got the same thing you're dealing with. No, man. What a great year. Holy cow. Records were set.
Wow. The only way to explain it's wow, I think. Every year, it amazes us. We go out there, and we expect a great turnout. And it just blows our expectations.
So, of course, this is your seventh annual. Started in 2019. Who spearheaded that? Like, who was in that group and that conversation that said, wow, let's do a super event? I mean, nobody had even heard of it around here before.
That's correct. And it was a combination of the athletic boosters at the time, most of which are still on the committee. I wasn't on the committee at that time, but it was probably in the 2015-16 area where the athletic boosters were looking to fund a new baseball-softball complex, and that's a $1 million project. That takes a lot of gun raffles or golf cart raffles to get that much funds raised. And so this idea was kind of bred, do a super raffle. Let's just put a whole bunch of stuff on at once and breed a super raffle where maybe we can raise $50,000 or $100,000 a year instead of $5,000 or $10,000. And if we get a 30-year loan on a baseball field, we can make that work. And I came on in the first year as the MC and then got entrenched in it as a part of the committee. And it's just grown to where it is now, where the baseball softball field is complete and we can look at our next projects.
So when you joined on and the group said this is what we are doing, do you remember the numbers from the first year?
I do. And so the first year they decided to sell 3,000 $100 raffle tickets, give away $240,000 worth of prizes. So bring in $300,000, give away $240,000, profit $60,000, wrap an event around it. Let's make our own event with this, our own little festival, and see how that goes. Again, I wasn't part of that conversation at that time, but I can imagine that the thought of the committee members in that room probably mirrored mine and most of the communities when we heard about this. And that was, who in the world are we going to sell $3,100 tickets to? Right. And it was a commitment by them members to purchase $240,000 worth of prizes. These aren't donated prizes. These are prizes that they went and purchased in the hopes, I guess, of selling all of these tickets to make a profit. That took a commitment. That took, you know, some real guts to do that. And it took 10 months for them tickets to sell at that first year. If they started selling them a year ahead of the first event, it took 10 months, but that ball got rolling and eventually they sold out and it became the success it was.
Yeah. So where did the whole idea come from? Like, just somebody see it somewhere else or get it from some other person or what?
There's a similar event called Deerassic Classic down in southeastern Ohio. And so there are people that from this area that have been to Deerassic Classic before. And in a sense, it's sort of the same idea of a super raffle. Now, their event's a lot different than ours as far as the experience you get when you go. But that was kind of where that idea bred from. Some guys, Jake Garkey, who's on our committee being one of the main ones, has been down there going to this event. They started theirs in the early 2000s. And so that was somewhat of the idea of bringing it back here and forming something similar to that.
It's just, so you started 3,000 first year. Last year was
This current year was 15,000.
15,000. When did you sell those out?
Those sold out in June 1st, actually. They sold out. We started selling those in October, and they sold out June 1st. So if you think about the progression of the tickets, that first year we sold 3,000. So we bumped it to $4,100 tickets for year two. Once again, let's start selling them in October of 2019, so that way they sell out before the event in 2020. Those tickets sold out in 48 hours. $4,100 tickets off the shelf in less than 2 days. Just mind-blowing. So the committee decided, well, let's do a second raffle, a $50 side raffle, and those tickets sold out. So we had 8,000 tickets, $4,100, $4,050 in year two. So then it just makes sense. Let's bump it to $8,100 tickets. So it sat at 8,000 for a few years, bumped it to 10,000 for a couple years. And then this past year, we've always had two separate raffles, a super raffle that was selling 10,000 tickets, and then the Friday night tow-and-go raffle, which started in year three, which was a separate ticket. Well, we decided to combine those in one ticket. So we didn't essentially sell more tickets this year for the event, but we combined those two raffles and just made them a 15,000 total $100 tickets. And that's where we're at now.
Yeah, so the big progression over the first year to the second year and to the third, social media playing a big part of that, probably?
Absolutely. And one of, I think, the biggest drivers in it was COVID year, which in hindsight seems crazy to think about, because in the moment of COVID, it felt like it was going to be the end of the wow. So we sell those $4,100 tickets for the 2020 event in 48 hours, decide to add a $50 ticket, sell those 4,000 tickets. And we're excited for this. We saw what it was in year one, a pretty local event, but I think we all had this sense of this is going to become something unique and big, and we could really scale this and grow it. And then July of 2020 hits, and we're in the midst of COVID, and we had to make that decision at the very last week of July that we can't have our event in person. And in that moment, it felt like the end of the wow. We're not going to have people down at the park. They're going to lose this experience, and they're going to forget about us or not. But we said we still have to do the raffle. Let's do it virtually. Call in KTelco in New Knoxville. Can you help us put together an 8-hour live show on social media so that we can still draw all the numbers? We'll put live music, we'll bring guests on and talk to them, and we're going to make it 8 hours of live show. And NKTelco, Scott Robinson with them, said, absolutely, I want to do this with you. Crazy. And somehow in a month's time, we put together a 8-hour long live show. Well, that was broadcast on YouTube and Facebook. Wabash put it on TV. Fort Recovery Radio had it on. And so all of a sudden, the social media blew up. People found out about this event that was streaming live for 8 hours that day that didn't know about it. So what turned out to be what we thought was going to be the end of the wow might have been one of the driving factors to expand the reach now.
That's pretty impressive.
Jeez Louise. And NK does an incredible job with that. We've done a lot of work with them over the years. And to pull that together in a month, and especially for you, RJ, you know, as a host, 8 hours is a long... This isn't like 4.5-minute commercial breaks, 2 football games, a halftime show. This is a full 8 hours. That's a long-term commitment. And do you look back and wonder how you did it, or do you just credit that moment to possibly even being able to go to 20,000 tickets in a few years?
Yeah. To put it in context, I got hired 2 weeks before we canceled or went virtual with the event. So beginning of July, I got hired in as my first principal job as the middle school principal at Fort Recovery. So now not only am I starting a brand new job as an administrator on August 1st, I'm also planning this virtual event. I look back at that and go, I have no clue how I did that. I also remember sitting in a committee meeting a week or two into August as we're planning this event, and I had written an itinerary that was down to the minute. And that seems wild and crazy, but we have balls that are pulling every 4 minutes. And we had those showing on the TV in the corner the whole time, or on the stream. But we also have some big prizes that we announce. Like when it's a car, I'm actually going to stand there and announce it. And so when I say to the minute, it was, well, this guy's going to play music for this 30 minutes. We have to cut to me drawing the ball right at 2:30. Then we'll cut to this video. And I probably made 8 or 10 different videos that could play throughout that. Then we're going to cut to this interview that our AD is going to do with a football coach. And so it was just back and forth and back and forth. And them committee members looked at me like, throw that out the window. There's no way that's going to work. And I said, it has to work because it's the way it needs to be. And by God, it did. And it was just incredible.
And you did all this without a production telecommunication degree from Ball State.
Yeah, I absolutely. I got myself entrenched as a committee member on this because of the fact that I used to be a DJ and they hired me to MC the event and play music at the first event. And the day after the first event happened, one of the committee members called me and said, can you come to our meeting tomorrow night? Just share some ideas about what you saw at the event so that we can keep this going.
And then you walked through the door and they were like, congratulations, you're on the committee.
That's exactly how that worked.
Figured.
And then everyone has their own jobs. And what's beautiful about this committee is it's 15 volunteers that are just the best of friends and we work so well together, and we each have our own jobs and we just trust each other to do their jobs. I've on taken the website design and configuration of that. I do the social media, a couple of us do. I help book the entertainment, and they just trust that I can do that, and I trust the guys that are in charge of beer to get enough beer, and trust the guys that do the food to get enough food, and trust the guys that do the parking to get that done. We all trust each other. I have no background in marketing. I have no background in website design. I had to teach all that to myself. Now, is it interesting to me? Absolutely. I love it. And I've learned a lot, but I've taught it to myself all along.
I have to ask, now that you've brought it up, for the gentleman that orders the beer, what is that number?
I don't know that number, but it took four semis to hold all the beer this year. There were four semi-trailers parked out there so that we could have enough beer. Whatever the ice was, and they get the ice from Cooper's, I believe, and they bring them in these big skids with these big boxes. And Cooper's dropped off these big boxes and had them in those semis on Friday. And they said, you got more than enough for the weekend. Don't worry about it. You can't run out of this. And it was a pretty nice weekend, Al. It wasn't hot by
any means. It wasn't last year hot.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't last year hot. And Saturday morning, they looked in there and they had about two skids left and they had to get 13 more of them. So whatever they thought the ice was going to be, they weren't even close.
Well, well done to the Went on the Wabash people that came out and enjoyed Craig Morgan and Saul Crush. You drank 208 feet pallet
good
stacks
math.
Of alcohol.
That's wild. That's pretty impressive.
That is a wow moment.
It is a wow moment.
Oh, man. Ryan, so obviously you guys are already planning next year because ticket sales are about 5 weeks away.
Correct.
For next year. Are you seriously, like, as that event's going on, you've got to be planning already for the next year?
That's the way we've been planning for the 2026 event since January, it feels like. We first met with Variety Attractions, which is the company that helps us book our entertainment. We met with them in June for the first time. So it's, hey, we need to start looking. When you get these bigger acts, you need to get on their schedule. You need to get out right ahead of it. And so we started talking with them in June already about who are we thinking, who might work. Went back and forth a few times. The actual guy we selected we wanted first turned down our offer, which happens, and then we had to go to our second choice, and we finally just found out a couple weeks ago that person confirmed the offer for next year. So we have the Saturday night entertainment booked. We just can't announce it because now they have all these things in their riders, and yep, you have to follow, and every piece of social media or media that I create to announce, I have to send to them, and they have to approve it. Just sent one this week. They sent it back and said, nope. All right, I'll make something else, you know.
So bringing up your entertainment, are you entrenched in the country, or is that just like you know the area that, like, I mean, that definitely hits around here more than anything else. Is that something you're going to stick with for a while because it hits, or are you guys open to anything? It's just got to fit in your budget.
I think we're certainly open to anything that fits in our budget, but I also think we found a formula that works because in year three did country both nights, realized we really need some rock and roll. And so finding a cover rock and roll band like that arena rock show that we had 2 years ago and 3 years ago, and then having that Bon Jovi cover on Friday night this year, that Friday night crowd just loves that rock music. And then Saturday, that country. So I feel like we found a formula that works. We're not going to deviate from it. but that doesn't also mean that something isn't going to come up. For me, I'm not a country guy. I sit on the entertainment committee. If it's me that was booking the entertainment, Creed all day, baby. Bring them out. But
2000s rock, right?
Yeah, that's right. I don't get to bring out them, so, or it's not my final choice. But I think we found a formula that works.
And, you know, that's just, it's crazy to think about, one, that you've already met with the committee for next year, but you're already looking kind of in January what acts you want, and you know by June, like, we got to have some contracts on tables. It's got to feel good to know it's done.
It does feel good, and there finally is a law. So the event was 2 weeks ago. Sunday is obviously cleanup day, and all the winners come up and claim their prizes, which is just awesome to see in a fun day. And you go to bed Sunday night and you get to take a breath. I'm like, okay, that was a great weekend. We did it. Kind of let it soak in. On Monday morning, my phone got dinged at for a text at 5 a.m. from the chairman of the committee asking about something he needed for next year. It is 5 a.m. on Monday after the event. I can't have... I want one day.
It's one day.
Yeah, and so it was a running joke, but... The ticket needs printed for next year. The ticket needs to get done with all of the prizes on it so that it can get through the printer and be ready for the October 12th sales date. And we all have our own little things that we do getting that ticket ready. And so we had to move right away on getting that going.
And so with the prizes, have you guys added bigger things, if that's even possible, but more vehicles?
Yeah, we're talking like a cruise ship next year, an airplane.
That
a
would jet. Be pretty cool. I can say this. I mean, next year we're sticking with the same formula of 15,000 tickets, just like it was this past year. 356 prizes valued at $1.2 million. 10 of those prizes get given away on Friday on the Tow and Go raffle. The other 346 are given away on Saturday during the Super Raffle. So the formula, as far as the money into it, hasn't changed. The number of tickets hasn't changed. But we certainly are trying to throw something different and unique in that every year. I think in year two, we came out and said we're giving away a hunt with Ted Nugent. Just a wild concept to give away a hunt with Ted Nugent. People talked about that. One year we gave away a trip to Minnesota to smash cars with a tank. Drive a tank and smash cars. What, you know, another one was go pig hunting out of a helicopter in
this
Texas.
This is all great therapy sessions, man.
It is. It's what people talk about. So last year, we knew we were going to give away a Mustang Dark Horse when we built the ticket. Why put that on the ticket when we could say mystery vehicle? Them tickets are going to sell with everything else that's on it. But come about April, we can reveal that mystery vehicle and reveal this pretty cool Mustang we're going to give away. And now that wow factor hits again. And we made a video of a garage door closing where you couldn't see what was in it and said, in 1 week, we reveal what's in this garage. And that video blew up on social media. A week later, the video is of the garage door opening and that Mustang pulling out. And that just blew up on social media. And that's the type of uniqueness we want in the prizes that we build on the tickets.
So when, like, you get a prize like that, you get the blow up like that, how do you top it the next year? You know what I mean? You've talked about the running over cars with a tank in Minnesota. Like, you know, next year it's got to be just a little bit more unique and a little bit better than this year.
Well, kind of on that, though, you're almost, for that, you're going to have to be looking 2 years down the road, kind of now. Like, you know. So.
And we like the formula we have with the tickets. Now, honestly, I don't see us going off the 15,000 number if for no other reason that we're running out of room in the park. You were at the event this year. There was no space left in the park. The canopies went all the way to the back fence. We've extended that fence as far as we can over the years. We can't really extend the fence anymore in the park. We were topped out on parking. Camping was completely full. We can't just continue to sell more tickets. We can't just continue to get more people down there. So we got to keep the experience that the people are having unique and fresh. And so how do we top the prizes? I don't know if there's a great answer to that, but our wheels are always spinning on what's something different we can do the next year. If we gave away Mustang this year, what's something different we can give away next year that people talk about?
I do got to give a shout out to you and especially your wife. For anybody that's been on a committee, the amount of time you're away from your family to put this event on, especially the week of, you and your wife looked incredible. You guys enjoy that a little bit on Friday night, don't you?
I love the Tonga raffle. I get to play Wayne Brady for a night, and I soak it up.
Mike decked you out pretty good, too.
He did. I appreciate Mike helping us out up at Mr. Shop. I went in there a couple months ago and said, hey, I work with the win on a Wabash Friday night. We do this Tonga. It was just one of the ladies working in there at the time. I said, I want a suit. I'd like to do a little deal here where, you know, maybe you guys can put me in a suit and we can help each other out. And Mike just jumped right on that and said, let's go. He messaged me a couple days after this year's event and said, hey, great working with you. I'm already trying to figure out what unique suit I can put you in next year. So let's go.
That's going to be tough. That gold and black looked pretty sweet.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty clean.
It was clean. Yeah. I mean, that whole event, again, it's the unique experience. You talk about that tow and go. We had the contestants come out of the trailer this year. They had the fog machines, fog geysers shooting up for them. Mm-hmm. It just the whole experience you get to be able to go back and look at that and watch that on video and put a little video together highlighting that. Again, it's just the uniqueness of the event.
So kind of going back on the social media aspect of everything, like the numbers, some of your videos, what their numbers that they're putting out, and then like tickets, 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
That's a record, you know, $500,000 going out.
Dude, when you popped on and you were like, we've broken NASCAR race records, we've broken football records and soccer records and baseball records.
So you're seeing numbers where a lot of these are being sold to, I would say, right?
Correct. We can see on the back side.
Mostly Ohio, Indiana, or we talking the United
Pre-event
States?
50-50 tickets this year sold to people in 33 different states. 33 different states were representing that pre-event 50-50. So the reach is just incredible. And I don't know whether that's people that know people that know people that find out about this, see how big it's grown and get on, or if it's just degenerate gamblers searching the internet for a new place to gamble. But 33 different states.
We're going to go with former Mercer Countyans that have moved out of the area, and now we're going to do that. But I think some degenerate gamblers in there too.
Possible. But this event is that people come to the event, they love the experience, and then they go tell somebody else, and then they tell someone else. There's a few stories about this. We got a group that comes from Rhode Island, a group that comes from Florida, a group that comes from Illinois, and every year the group gets bigger. The one from Florida started with two guys coming up. They heard about the event. One of them was working in town and heard about the event, and so he said, I'm going to bring a buddy up to this. And now they bring 16 guys up from Florida to come to this event. My favorite story, talking about the social media, at the end of the night this year, Craig Morgan was up on stage, and I finally got to walk out from backstage, and I was walking over to talk to my dad a little bit, and a guy stopped me, and he goes, hey, you're the guy up on stage. I see you on social media and TikTok all the time. I said, yeah, nice to meet you. Ryan, where are you from? And I forget the town in Indiana. It was an hour and a half away. He said, an hour and a half in Indiana. He said, I was scrolling TikTok back in April, and I saw a video of a Mustang pulling out of a garage. And I got looking at it, and I thought, well, that's cool. So I clicked the button. It brought me to your website and checked it out. And I told my wife, we need to check this event out. So I brought my wife and my buddy and his wife that are standing here, and we came. He goes, we had no idea what to expect, but this is awesome. We're coming back every year.
And think about that. You know, we're talking social media numbers, but part of it is it's the area that we live in. It's the storytelling. It's the I've experienced this in this little area in part of the perfect state of Ohio, this little Midwestern area. They go back and they're like, you're not going to believe what they can pull off there. And going back to what I said, when you were on that video highlighting that you were blowing out records of 50-50 tickets in little old Fort Recovery, it was like, it was kind of a surreal moment. Like, even especially for you guys, but even for me watching the video, it was like, holy cow, this got big fast.
Yeah. I'll tell the story of this because I think it's such a great story. And on Wednesday night when the 50-50 went down, that's a tense moment. I mean, that's a tense moment. We're having critical conversations or crucial conversations with the guy, our rep from Phantom. But that thing is selling tickets. And at 6:30, and tickets were supposed to sell to 9 o'clock that Wednesday night, 6:30 it crashes. I'm like, oh no, what happened? I'm on the phone right away. We got to fix this. You said you could handle this. And you know, it was tense, but it's also thinking, these people do these major events, NFL and NCAA and NHL games. Fort Recovery broke them. Like, that's incredible. They just never had that much capacity at one time. And our rep that we work with through Phantom is out of Fort Wayne, but the company's out of Boston, Massachusetts. He calls his programmers and says, we need this fixed, and we need it fixed immediately. And what was happening, so many people were clicking buy now at the same time. What it does is the system keeps anyone from buying duplicate numbers. So if two people hit buy now at the same time, it puts one in a queue. And your little wheel of death will spin until it's your turn in a queue, and then it will complete your purchase. Well, when 100 or 200 or 300 people are hitting buy now at the same time, right, that's a long time to be in a queue. So people's wheels of death are just spinning for 20, 30, 45 seconds. Well, what does the impatient person do when they see the wheel of death spinning for 30 seconds? Hit the refresh button. Boom. So many people did that, it crashed the site. Because now when you hit refresh, it tries to duplicate your purchase. The system has to prevent you from duplicating a purchase. There was one person alone, one person who hit refresh 100 times in 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
System crashes. So now, overnight, they got programmers in Boston, Massachusetts, reworking the code. Instead of click buy now, wait in a queue until your numbers get assigned to you and then complete your purchase. It's buy now, complete the purchase, then put you in a queue and assign your numbers, and then send the confirmation email after the numbers are assigned. That way, the system doesn't crash. People complete their purchase. They don't have to worry about hitting the refresh button. Good. That was good and dandy. We reopened on Thursday for 2.5 hours to complete what we had missed by the system crashing on Wednesday. And first, it's amazing that Phantom was able to rewrite the entire code to their system in 12 hours. Wild. And we kind of went in it with, well, you rewrote the code. Do you trust it? And they said, we trust it. Do it. Like, that's a little scary to reopen this. Right. And it ended up growing $110,000 more in that 2.5 hours on Thursday. Right. But now, because of the way the system was working, people would complete their purchase. It put them in the queue to get their numbers, and they wouldn't get their email right away. And so many people were buying tickets, it was taking an hour for people to get their confirmation email. So now people are thinking, oh, I got hosed. I bought this and completed my purchase. I didn't get a confirmation email. I didn't get any numbers assigned to me. And we had to sit there and explain, like, patience. The email's coming. It's coming.
Mine was about two and a half hours, and I didn't reach out because it's one of those, like, I've known you for a long time. I'm like, if Ryan opened this back up, Ryan trusted what they said. It's going to come eventually. And then it was like 2.5 hours later, and there it was. It was like, okay, here's my numbers. We're good to go. Good.
So, and every one of them emails, because we closed that at 4, and we were giving away the 50-50 or pulling the number at 7. And so at 4, when it closes, I'm on the phone with the guy, the Phantom guy, like, are these emails going to be done by 7? Like, we can't pull this number without people having them. We know they're getting sent. We could see them. I could physically watch the emails being sent in order from my end. But there's a long list there. Is this going to be done? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't know. He goes, but I'm talking to the programmers. And at 6 o'clock, the programmers had rewritten the code again to optimize the email sent. So all of a sudden, there was this big list left at 6 o'clock, and it went, and they were all done. And so then programmers were still sitting in front of that computer fixing things as it went. And by 6 o'clock, every email was sent and everybody had their numbers.
So are they going to be ready for another one next year?
Well, we had that conversation. But they trust this new system. He goes, honestly, since we rewrote the code for you that night, the programs have still been working on it, optimizing the emails even more. Because when we start selling tickets for not just the pre-event 50-50, but the Super Raffle on October 12th, there's going to be people online purchasing both of those. The system has to be able to handle it. And I remember last October, the system slowing down a little bit, but it still worked. If it's even a more mad rush this year in October to get them Super Raffle tickets, which it might be, system's got to be able to handle it. But we trust Phantom. We are glad to partner with them, and we feel pretty confident in what they have.
Well, I don't think it's your rep's fault. I don't think it's Phantom's fault. They're probably looking at their analytics and going, this is a town of 3,500 people. Even the max capacity of Mercer County is 42,000. Our servers, our site can handle it. Not real. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, exactly. Ryan, we're going to be good.
Whoosh.
Whoom.
And what's funny about Phantom, or about the guy that's our rep for Phantom, is that he actually reached out to us. He found our event or heard about it in Fort Wayne somehow, and he actually reached out to us and said, hey, I work for, it was a different company at that time, actually. I work for this company that does online 50-50s and ticket sales. I think I can help you guys. And we're like, yep, yeah, let's talk. And he shows up to the first meeting. He drives down to Fort Recovery to meet with us. Four or five of us are sitting around a table. He walks in. We're all drinking Busch Light. He goes, I'll take a Busch Light. Okay, this is our guy right here. You know? And he explained to us and had a whole package for us. And we're like, boy, this just makes too much sense. Take this off of us. And so we did that through his previous company for 2 years. And then he actually moved to Phantom, which does the same thing but different company. And we said, well, we're following you. We have no commitment to the other company. You're the one that found us. We're following you. And so he went to Phantom, and this was our first year with Phantom. And so he knew what the event was. He obviously found it and has watched us grow over the last 4 or 5 years, but still just mind-blowing to everybody. When I had my phone call with him last week after the event, I'm saying, is this going to work? Is this going to work? He said, I'm telling you it's going to work. He goes, but to be honest with you, our CEO, who lives in Canada, heard about his system breaking, and so he had to figure out what was going on. He hops on, then he watches our pre-event live show on Thursday night and watches us give away $250,000, thinks, what is these people doing? This is awesome. So then he tuned in and watched the Tow and Go raffle, which we broadcasted live on Friday night, and then Saturday he was paying attention to all the Facebook posts. And so he goes, I got to be at this event. And so I'm pretty sure the CEO of Phantom is going to be at the WOW raffle next year.
It's incredible. Wow. We are talking with Ryan Steinbrenner from the Win on the Wabash. Half hour in the books, gentlemen. Plenty to go as we are broadcasting live from Coldwater Eagles 30-25. Tonight's show brought to you by Home Service Station and Loudix Jewelry. We'll be back. Welcome back to Coldwater Eagles 30-25 here on Sports Surge, brought to you by Home Service Station and Loudix Jewelry. We're on with Ryan Steinbrenner, one of the many committee members on the Win on the Wabash. And Ryan, before the break, we were talking about, you know, Phantom and the CEO coming next year. It just, you know, obviously we believed in the event. We work, you know, with you, you know, and it's a credible thing for us. You know, I tell people all the time, like, I don't think people understand just the amount of eyeballs on those banners, on that entertainment stage on the weekend, the Snapchats, how many people you think you got in there?
I think it's a fair estimate to say on Saturday we had 10,000 people in the park. Now, we don't have a great way. It's one of the things we're working on is try to figure out a good way to take attendance. We give out wristbands, but so many people buy more Super Raffle tickets then they need wristbands. So they'll come up, they'll have bought 8 Super Raffle tickets, they'll take 8 wristbands. Doesn't mean they all 8 get used. So we might give away 12 or 15,000 wristbands. I don't think that means there's 12 or 15,000 people in there. Of course, then you have all the volunteers and the workers that don't necessarily get the wristbands or get it differently. So we don't have a great way to track attendance, but I think probably 10,000 people in the park on Saturday.
That's incredible. And you said you're maxing out the fences everywhere. I mean, you've got this thing.
If I can think back to the first year when we had, even the stage was with the back to the Wabash River, and we were facing the headquarters stand, we call it, where the bathrooms are and the beer stand is. Mm-hmm. And it was just so compact right there. It was great for the first year. But when we went to year three, we said, we better move this stage down here to the end so we got more park. Well, I can't imagine not doing that. And now every year the fence has moved further and further and further, and now there's no place else to move it because we're already butt up against a campground. There's a river on one side. There's a highway on the other. I can't go any further.
Yeah, unless you close the highway, I guess.
Maybe.
Hey, Ryan, we're talking about it. All the money raised, man, you're giving out to not only, of course, it started with the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters Club. Shout out to whoever's on that for this idea, but now you've expanded that because you guys are raising so much money. You're going to so many different organizations. When you get to the end of the year and you start giving this money out to these groups, how does that make the committee feel? It's got to be great.
I think it's why we do it as volunteer members. As a volunteer, you're giving back to your community in some capacity. And you mentioned the time before. The time is so immense. And our rules as committee members, hundreds and hundreds of hours that we need to commit to do this. Not just us 15, though. You think of the hundreds and hundreds of other volunteers that need to be at the event to make the event run the weekend of. All of that is done in a volunteer sense so that we can give back to our communities. I was born, raised in Fort Recovery, lived there my entire life. Now I'm blessed to be the high school principal there. I want to continue to give back to the community that did so much for me. We can talk about that for any town or any community, and not just Mercer County, but in every other surrounding county as well. Small town USA, it's what it's about. And so certainly that giving back is what is so rewarding about this. One of the things with the funds we've been able to do is start a scholarship program. Started a few years ago, expanding on it, giving away almost $50,000 in scholarships up to this point. We want to continue to expand that. Being able to read the entries from the scholarship entries, the students that submit for that scholarship, because our scholarship isn't based on academics. It's not based on if you're going to college. It's open to any senior in the 5-county area, and all you have to do is demonstrate how you've given back to your community, how you have done community service throughout high school. Well, that is so rewarding to read those essays and hear about the different ways our youth are giving back to their communities, and that's what then gets rewarded, is choosing the students who have done that in the largest capacity or most unique way, and then be able to actually meet those kids, hand them a check, and shake their hand.
Well, and I think back when we were in school, it was such a big thing that it was all academic based. You know, how many, you know, are you in pre-calculus? Are you in pre-chem? Are you in this? Are you in that? Where you want to understand small town USA, that's what it's about. Like, we know most of these kids are all great students. It's, let's show them how great it is to volunteer. And what are you doing to better your community that way in 40, 50 years when you're at this age where you're giving back and you're able to retire, that you've set it up for a better situation. What better way to give back than, we're not looking at your grades. We know you're a great student. That's what you are here. What makes you stand out in the volunteer world? And that just, once they do that, they win that scholarship, they're going to remember that. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to come home and volunteer.
That's exactly what we want from it. It's one of the pillars I stand on as an administrator at Fort Recovery Schools. Continue to give back to the community around you.
Yep, it's an incredible thing. And, you know, Ryan, just looking at some of these that you've given to over the years, of course, the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters, but even, you know, like you said, the scholarship recipients, over $23,000 were awarded. You said that's going to be over 50 here soon. Mm-hmm. You've given to the Coldwater MD Softball Tournament, the Mercer County Challenger Baseball, Veterans Honor Gardens in St. Henry, Fort Recovery. So you're not just giving to Fort Recovery now, you're expanding beyond that. And when you are able to reach out to these organizations and say, hey, went on the Wabash, did really well this year, we want to be able to give to you, like a Coldwater MD or a Mercer County Challenger Baseball. That's got to be a pretty awesome phone call to be able to make.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really the goal now. You think about the first few years, it was to pay off a baseball field, and that felt like an end goal. That's build a baseball softball complex and get that paid off, and that's the end goal. And the event became so much more that now we get to expand that reach. And especially now that the baseball softball field is done and we're nearing paying off that loan, now we can really take some of those funds and continue to expand them even further.
That's funny. You said at the beginning, you said when you did this, like, if we could take a 30-year loan and pay that off, we'll be good. And here you are getting ready in probably year 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible thing. You know, first of all, I want to thank you and all of your committee members. Just watching the Snapchats and the Facebook videos and, you know, obviously the commercial you made for us, the excitement for this, I think is just going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And you're going to see a lot of people that don't even buy tickets that just want to experience the moment, because it's a pretty cool weekend.
I agree. It was amazing how many people purchased just entry tickets into the event that didn't have a super raffle ticket, just to come get the experience. And if you really think about the experience you're getting, it's a pretty cheap experience. I mean, it's concerts Friday and Saturday, and a lot going on outside of the concerts. It's the stage games, it's the different raffles there. Well, for $100, you're getting into a raffle that gets you 356 different ways to win, but also gets you into this event to experience all that. Well, heck, a concert ticket's gonna cost you $100 somewhere, and if you don't buy the super raffle ticket, it's $30 to get into this event for the weekend. Well, that's a pretty cheap experience for everything that's involved, and it's certainly the cheapest beer you're ever gonna get at a concert. I mean, we sell 30 packs of Busch Light for $40. I mean, it's less than $2, less than $1.50 a beer. You're going to a concert somewhere and paying $7, $8, $10, $15 a beer.
Yep.
So keep going it up with that price, right? So it's, you know, the experience is what we want to give people, and I think they have a pretty positive one.
When you put the amount of 10,000 people, you know, think about that. That's three Fort Recoveries, or that's a St. Mary's or a Salina getting thrown in there for a few weekends. And you mentioned all the people coming from out of the area. Think about what that does for the economy in the area. You know what I mean? All the restaurants getting eaten at in Fort Recovery or Salina or Coldwater or Mercer County in general, those tax dollars coming back, which in turn, again, helps all of us in the long run.
I'll add to that also, thinking about the prizes that are purchased for the ticket. This year, we purchased $1.2 million worth of prizes to give away just on the Super Raffle and Tow and Go Raffle, not including the 200 other prizes we gave away throughout the weekend. Those aren't donations we're looking for. We're purchasing them. That's probably roughly $1.5 million worth of money going into directly into the economy.
Absolutely.
From mostly local businesses selling us those items.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about just the, again, but that's old school thinking with a new school mentality. You're not afraid to use the social media, but you're not afraid to do it the old school way either and support businesses that have supported Fort Recovery schools as they grew up, or just schools in the Mercer County area in general. They in turn support you and sponsor the, like, it's the old school train of thought.
Exactly.
It's a crazy thing. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us.
I got one more question.
Go ahead.
I know you said something about Wayne Brady, but I've heard people say you're more like the Bob Barker.
The Bob Barker. Yeah. Well, I'll take that as a compliment. I actually saw someone on Facebook put I was the male Vanna White. I wasn't quite sure how to take that comment. Let my wife be Vanna White. I'll take the Bob Barker part of it.
Listen, here's my thing. If you're going to go the Bob Barker, can you get the skinny mic next year? Can you talk to the...
Ooh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The crew and be like, guys, listen, love the mic idea, but I want the long skinny one.
And, I like that.
I think it's, you know, with whatever fire suit that Hibby's going to throw for you. Cannot wait to see what 2026 has in tail. We're all waiting for those ticket sales already. Good luck. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
If you missed it, of course, we will have it up tomorrow about that 7 a.m. time on Spotify and Apple Podcast and on our website at WCSMradio.com. We will be right back as we are broadcasting live from the Coldwater Eagles 3025. Our show brought to you by Home Service Station and, of course, Loudix Jewelry on 96.7 The Wave. Welcome back to Coldwater Eagles 3025 Sports Surge. Brent Selhorst alongside you, Kyle Hein alongside me, and Kyle Ryan Steinbrenner. What a great guest. Got to see more and hear more about the win on the Wabash than I thought I knew went into it.
Yeah, I definitely did too. And you know, he is the MC of the event. And man, we were putting him through the ringer right there, and he just kept talking, and you could tell he was kind of getting sore. So I don't think he's fully recovered 2 weeks after the event.
That's tough. Kyle, we're going to talk just our nonsense for the next 15 minutes. And one big thing that I do want to talk about is over the weekend, of course, the big game we were talking about 2 weeks ago, Ohio State hosting Texas. And you and I kind of talked about it a little bit. I understood the name of Manning, and I understand the allure of it, but I had to see it on the football field. And I don't know about you, but there were moments in that game where I didn't think the form looked good. I thought he looked overwhelmed. And it's a credit to Ohio State's defense, by the way, who I think is going to be really, really good. I just didn't see it for March. I just thought he looked like a mediocre quarterback.
Well, I think a lot of it was what you said, the defense, though, of Ohio State. They were putting a little bit of pressure on him, playing at the shoe there for the first time with 100,000+ people, you know, for your first real big start. I know Manning had a couple of starts last year, but not quite against Ohio State. But then, you know, your old buddy Matt Patricia running the defense now for Ohio State. He threw some looks at him, I think. And
he definitely put some NFL twist in there defensively, because there were times where Arch, the ball was glued to his hand.
Yeah, he was definitely thinking twice about every pass that he was making. And he did have a couple that were dropped as well. But, you know, and then offensively for Ohio State, would have liked to seen them open it up a little bit. But, you know, you're going against a good defense in Texas, and both teams are going to be just fine.
Are you kidding me? You have a lead like that and a defense like that, and you're playing field position. I couldn't believe that in the first half we had four fourth down conversions attempted.
Yeah.
That was
that's the new era of football, though, now. A lot, you know, everybody's saying the analytics, which I don't necessarily like analytics at all. One, I'm just not smart enough to understand that stuff.
Well, they don't believe in momentum.
Yeah.
Analytics does not believe in momentum. And I'm sorry, if you're in the shoe and your Buckeyes are playing the way that they are, I believe momentum is a thing and needs to be factored in on these decisions. That's just me.
Yeah, and that's something you can't really quantify, I don't think, and pressure on human beings trying to make plays in those situations.
No, I thought Julian Sain looked great. Caleb Downs looks incredible. I think Matt Patricia was kind of licking his chops going into this game. You know, he obviously Super Bowl champion, had some really good defenses in New England. But in college, man, there is a athletic difference. And when you have those type of athletes, I think he's just going to have so much fun with some scheming up this year, some corner safety blitzes, shifts. You know, I just don't know. Watching that game, it was like, this dude just got a bunch of Ferraris in his garage, and he's just having fun with it.
Yeah, letting them run and using that speed and go fly to the ball, right?
They look good. Of course, they get a little bit of a, not a bye. They got Grambling State this week, but, man, that was a great game. I just hope all teams understand that's what we as college football fans want. I don't care how it turned out. Was it the greatest offensive game? Absolutely not. But did it become a sweater there for a little bit in the fourth quarter for Buckeye fans? It absolutely did.
Yeah, you're just talking like 1-3 opening
week. Oh, man, 5-9. None of them were blowouts. Every one of them, I think, were within 10 points. Like, that is what we as college football fans want.
Week in, week out.
Yeah.
We don't want any cupcakes. I think it's going to end up in that direction before it's all said and done, where you're going to have the NCAA,
whatever they
one
are,
or you know, it's going to be the power conferences branching off to 50 teams, let's say.
Well, you look at the NFL, right? You have what is it, 7-8 out of each conference, 8-8. You look at college football. Once we get to 16, I think we can start looking at teams that are 9-3 but played a top five schedule. Or they played 8 ranked teams. You can start looking at these 9-3 teams and go, we can see with our eyes that we don't have to look at record and go, well, Central Florida's 12-0. I don't care. Penn State or Illinois or Florida State went 9-3 in an ACC. Put them in.
Yeah, right. And having more into a playoffs really isn't all that much better.
I don't like it.
You know, I think high school football, we found that out. That's not really the direction they want to go to, and then now they dropped it back down to 12 teams in a region now for high school to make the playoffs, and then the top four teams end up getting a bye. So now there's a bye week in there in that playoff for the top four seeds.
And the top four get 2 weeks at home guaranteed?
Yeah.
So lot better travel-wise for a lot of us, that, especially you guys that cover games. Right. There was a lot of miles put on for you guys, but man, I'm in the minority. I still like the BCS format. I think if they went with the live voting that we have now with how they roll it out, but in, you know, compute that into the BCS formula, I think we could spit out and use that as your top 12.
Sure. Yeah, I was always kind of a fan of it too, because Ohio State was always in.
And some years they didn't win it.
Right. No. Yeah.
And there were times where it was like, you know, I remember Florida's first one when Meyer was there, and it was like, why is Florida here? It should be Ohio State, Michigan. They just played 52-49.
Right.
What are we doing here? And then Florida goes in and trounces them, and it was like, oh, maybe the BCS got it right. You know what I mean? Like, yep. I'm one of those. Use the BCS formula to give me the top 12. Take the human element out of it, because we've learned it's not great.
No, it's not, because everybody has an opinion.
Everybody's got money coming, too.
They got money coming to them, and that's been the biggest downfall of sports, really, right now, in this era, is the amount of money that's being dumped into sports, whether it's TV revenue.
NIL,
just the amount of money, which I'm all for kids making their money playing ball. I'm all for that 100%.
I think it got away from us, though.
It's gotten away. It's just gotten to be way too much money.
Well, and if you go back to what NIL stands for, name, image, likeness, we are now paying 5 stars to come to our school. That is not what the end game was. It was for the, you know, the Marvin Harrison Juniors or the CJ Strouds, where, you know, they sat behind a quarterback and then they build their name, and now they are the face of a program. Those are the guys that should be getting the money, not these five-star freshmen that are getting $5 million out of the gate just to come to your school.
Yeah, getting that kind of – I mean, if they had NIL when I was playing, I would have been happy to take a case of Bush Light every week and a can of Grizzly.
Wasn't it Keystone?
They keep on passing that around. I would have been happy with that.
Nah, it's changed, and I know it's the way of the future. And obviously the schools that we root for have a lot of money, so we're not going to be on the outside looking in. You know, for example, you look at Florida's basketball team, you know, that was paid for.
Oh, yeah.
They were very good. Don't get me wrong, but they paid a lot of money to keep a lot of those guys there, and it paid out in the end. They were able to hoist the trophy. Ohio State, that infamous, this is a $20 million team. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, it worked. So, you know what? What is it? Texas Tech now? What did they? I heard $25 million.
They got
million?
Some outrageous money.
Oil money?
It's really hard to tell. Nobody really puts that. The actual numbers, I think they're just guessing on the numbers on some of them NILs.
Did you see C.J. Finley transferred for the seventh time?
Yeah. Well, see, now that's where...
Jaden Rashada.
I have a problem with all that, you know.
Is this the last year of the COVID transfers? I think this is the final year where anybody during...
I would hope so. Because it's getting over the top with
some of these guys are older than us.
Yeah. No. No, they're not.
Getting drafted and they're 24, 25. Tyler Shuck is one of them, right? He's like 24.
Yeah, he's probably 25.
So is he really that good, or did he benefit of 7 years of playing time in college?
I'd say he benefited from 7 years and getting some extra NIL money. I mean, hey, the guy's probably set for life right now. Now he's got his opportunity in the NFL.
Get your money. I don't know how much of an opportunity. I don't think the Saints are going to be very good, man. No. Could be rough in the Big Easy.
I'd dabble on them not getting a win this year.
I think the number is at 3.5.
Yeah, I'd go under for sure.
4.5. Them for and Cleveland, sure. I think, are 4.5. Cleveland, I'm going over. I would take the Saints under. Cleveland's going to get over 4.5.
I think so too. They're going to sneak out a couple of victories. They about have to. Unfortunately,
they're going to split within the state. Bengals and Browns always do that. It's going to be split. Yeah, I just got over 4.5 easy. My Patriots, I thought was the easiest one, over 7.5.
Really?
I got them 9-8, 10-7. Just because last year they snuck out 4 wins and were awful as a team. They were not ready week in and week out. I mean, how do you beat the Bengals week one and then you get blown out by the Chargers like 41-7? Like the game. So just having Vrabel there is good for at least 4 more wins.
Hey, I don't mind your thought. As long as they just finish below Buffalo, we're all good. I think we can handle that.
I think it's your division for a while.
Well, I hope so. It's been a long time coming.
So did you, speaking of Buffalo, did you watch the Dallas series on Netflix?
Some of it. All of it. I'll tell you what. Jerry Jones is
Do you have a little bit of a respect for him now?
Yeah, I do.
Man. Like watching that, I'm like, all right, so, I get the BS.
So when a lot of that was going on, you know, we were five, six, seven years old, and my dad and my uncle are big Cowboys fans.
They are.
And I remember they did not like Jerry Jones, and then Jimmy Johnson with his hair parted like that. And I'm like, Dad, that's how you wear your hair. You know?
Don't tell him that, though.
Yeah. But, you know, they hated that, but they were winning. And now, you know, Jerry, I think he's still kind of just rolling the dice and sticking to his guns on that. Like, I know best, and this is what we're going to do. And then he ends up trading away one of the at least top 10 players in the NFL. If, you know,
twice.
Maybe the best defensive player there
is. He's done it twice. Yeah. Herschel Walker to start the dynasty, and then I think to possibly end his run, the Micah Parsons trade.
Yeah.
But I think the coolest part for that for me was when he went after the NFL for the exclusivity. Like they said, you could only have Coca-Cola. He's like, I don't want Coca-Cola. I want my own. I want to make my own revenue. What was he losing? $30,000 a day?
Yeah, I don't remember the number.
Whatever that number.
Yeah,
and he was
like, no, I'm going to go. Yeah. Give me Pepsi.
I want Pepsi. And you got Reebok? I want Nike. And I just thought a trailblazer back in the day. I gained a lot of respect for him in that. But then watching him trade away Mike, it was like, you had your run. You did really good for 30-some years. I think maybe it's time to let Steven take the reign.
I'm leaning that way, too. And I'm sure there's a lot of Cowboy fans in the same shoes there as I am.
But as a non-Cowboy fan, I do enjoy their demise. I'm not going to. You know, you did when New England fell on their face. Everybody was like, yeah, about time. It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
I get it.
All good things have to come to an end.
Changing of the guard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm already rooting for the Chiefs' demise. And it's been, what, 8 years, 9 years?
I've been rooting for that now for
since they took over?
8 years, yeah.
No, I want to thank everybody as we wrap up. Kyle, I can't believe this hour is in the books already. Thank you again to Ryan Steinbrenner from the Win on the Wabash Committee. 7 years in the books. As you heard, they've already purchased $1.2 million for next year. They've already got the act for Saturday night booked. Unfortunately, he couldn't release that.
I wonder who it is.
We should put a poll out there.
Yeah. We're pretty sure it's probably a country act.
And it's a single, the way he was talking. The way he said it. We have him booked.
Our first one said no.
First one says no. Yeah, I'm going to ask, I'm a message Ryan to be like, all right, when can you release it? Because then we'll have we'll sit down here and we'll put a little formula together and we'll try to shoot it off. Yeah, and then if we get it, maybe Ryan will be nice and give us each a free entry.
Well, I probably need a free entry because I've gotten how many entries in there, and no, I still haven't won.
I'm just kidding, Ryan, if you're still listening. That dude treats us so well at CSM. Love working with those guys at the WOW and everything we can do to promote him. And glad he was able to hop on board tonight. And need to thank Lee back in the studio for running the board tonight. And Kyle, again, the board worked. I think we did a good job. We're already looking for a guest in 2 weeks. So, hey, by the way, any of our guests listening, if you've got somebody in mind, let me know. Brent Sellers at WCSMradio.com. We're talking anybody in the sports realm, whether it's to help grow a sport, build a sport. It could be an athletic director, a coach, a former player, whatever it may be. Man, we just want to talk to people and let people know. I think most of us know how great this region is for sports, but we just want to continue to highlight that and spread the word. So if you've got somebody in mind, I know we're reaching out to the Blue Jackets, who we're now covering this year. Yeah. We're going to get Bob McGilliott on and Dylan Tyre on, bring them down.
That'll be fun.
I
can't wait to talk some puck.
I had to tell Dylan. So he already sent us swag, and it was all like mediums, larges, and like a couple XLs. I was like, dude, that ain't going to work.
Did he send it to a daycare?
I was like, that ain't going to work. We're going to need some 3X, some 2X, some X, some hats.
I'm not 3X. I don't know what you're thinking.
We have some taller people, 3X. Okay. Just
T for tall.
Dylan chuckled. He's like, I forgot. Midwest farm country. It's guys are a little bit thicker up there. And I was like, just some bigger shirt sizes. But we got some high signed hockey sticks we're going to be giving away, a signed hockey puck.
Nice.
Some autographed hats. They hooked us up real nice. So
that's pretty cool.
Preseason starts 9/21. You'll hear that on AM 1350 and Lake 100. Regular season October 9th at Nashville, I believe. And based on last year's team, this could be a good year for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I think they, towards the end of the year, they started putting some things together there, making a push for the playoffs, and just couldn't quite get in. But
did you have them at 500, though? I mean, honestly, looking at the team, the age, what they had gone through, I mean, they had to bury
that was
a teammate. You know what I mean? Like, right in the thick of things, and I thought they handled it so well. I thought it made them resilient, and I'm excited for what this year's going to
be. Yeah, I think they're going to have a pretty good squad. I like their chances of getting into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I do enjoy that. Excited to be able to carry the Blue Jackets, so we're looking to get Dylan and Bob on. We're looking to get, maybe some Buckeye affiliates that we know on, and just trying to grow the show and promote the Grand Lake region and what a great sports region and area we have. I know you're PA-ing Friday night for Coldwater as they will host Fort Recovery. Again, for the list of our games covering, you can check it out at WCSMradio.com on our local sports scores page. If you missed tonight's podcast, you can check it out on Spotify or Apple Podcast as well. Anywhere you get your pods, Amazon, we're available there. Just search Sports Surge with Brent Sellhorst and Kyle Hine. Thank you to our sponsors, of course, Home Service Station and Loudix Jewelers, and our wonderful host, Coldwater Eagles 3025. Don't forget, we'll be back in 2 weeks. If you want to check the show live, you can certainly do so. We are here 7 to 8 p.m. And hopefully a great guest in 2 weeks as well. We'll send it back to Lee as we wrap it up. Everyone have a great Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 5:30. Have a good one.
For sports first, on air and online, we thank you for listening to this WCSM Sports presentation.